The Lord be with you. Well, folks, here we are in late December, Advent 4, 2024. And by now, who can count how many times over the years that they've been affected by this powerful song? A song that's famously belted out with courage by a hopeful, brave, and spirited young woman. Something has changed within her. This woman who's been an outsider, an outcast, a nobody, unpopular even, shunned by her neighbors, and here she is, filled with fresh insight and energy, and so she sings out, sharing her insight and her vision with one of her dearest friends. And what a song. A song about a fresh start, a new way of seeing the whole world. A song about a revolution. Let's be clear, this is a dangerous song, a predictor of things to come. It's a message of resistance, calling out the dishonest and cruel imperial forces in her world. It's a finger in the eye of those who sit in seats of power and exploitation. I know we sang people look east, but maybe you're looking to the western sky, because as much as I could be talking about the celebrated song from the wildly popular musical, Wicked, in theaters now, check local listings, but not really, because of course we find ourselves once again reading from the ancient Advent musical portion of our text. This is Luke's gospel, and he has his characters singing again. And the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth, this is a text with such a special place in the Advent journey. Capped off with Mary's song, of course. It's a radiant thing. And you could be forgiven for finding more than a few similarities between the Magnificat and almost any song which speaks of freedom and liberation. It's not an accident that a soaring song about the liberation and empowerment of a woman's voice will overlap with the Magnificat. There are pieces of Mary's song in songs like these. They share the same themes and the same dreams. Mary's song is ancient and primal. Mary's song is still being sung, and it resonates and it hums in the air. Mary's song still shakes the ground under our feet. Mary's song is foundational. And I would go so far as to say that how well we listen to the song of Mary, and whether or not we choose to sing along with it or not, sets the course for us as a people. It marks our entire trajectory as people who call themselves followers of Jesus' way in the world. You could say that Mary's song is Luke's whole message distilled down into 9 potent verses of high-strength gospel tonic. The visitation of Mary and Elizabeth is such a tender story. These two remarkable women embracing and celebrating, prophesying, singing. And there are no men in this picture. These two women carry in their bodies, leaping, the greatest prophet and the firstborn of all creation. What could any man add to this story? Here at the tipping point of theological history, the Word made flesh, and these two women in a backwater Judean hill country, these two women are our protagonists. Mary and Elizabeth are women center stage, and they are growing hope in their own bodies. And a woman is carrying the tune. Blessed is she among women, among all people, actually. What a song she sings, a song of freedom. Her soul magnifies the Lord. She sings, His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. In our space of time, our generation, humans on this earth for the time we've been given, like so many before us, we are a people awaiting a great reordering, the redemption of all things. We wait with all humanity, all creation even. With the choir, I think one of the favorite songs that we sung this year was, "There is a yearning in hearts weighed down by ancient grief and centuries of sorrow." We can feel it in our core. Becky talked about it today in the prayers of the people. And even if we can't quite find the words for it, our hearts sing it out each day. These parts of us that know in our bones just how out of sync we are as a species. Out of harmony with the planet, at odds with one another. Walker Percy famously said, or maybe not so famously, I guess if you're not a fan, "We live in a deranged age, more deranged than usual, because despite great scientific and technological advances, we have not the faintest idea of who we are or what we are doing." And he wrote that in 1983 without really ever knowing what the internet was going to be. And so Mary's song still sings out over the noise of the world's commotion. As much as this resonates with us, as much as we can feel good in these moments when we speak of this ache in our hearts, resistance to this song of Mary stubbornly holds on in many of us. Parts of this song are, well, threatening to certain statuses and quos, if you know what I mean, especially those of us with jobs and degrees and houses and titles and clout even. People with enough disposable income to include luxuries in our life like warm homes and Christmas gift lists and decorations and parties and little cakes and drinks on trays. An average of 5 pounds that each of us will gain in this season of indulgence. Moreover, history is written by the victors. And for white North Americans who have become quite accustomed, thank you very much, to life on the winning side, our society is shaped by blind spots, and lies, and tragic omissions. As far as this goes, many of us actually live in a very dangerous spiritual space. We have been set at a distance. We are threatened by the vitality and the urgency of texts like these. So how can people like us well hear Mary's song? The church in history has always had the choice. Sing along with the song of Mary and let it shape us with its cry for deliverance. It's a song that calls us to be liberators, peacemakers, people who side with the poor and the lowly. We can sing with the song of Mary. We can give form to it where we live, lend our hand to works of love and mercy. We can take up the cause of justice, as painful and difficult and risky as this most surely will be. Or we could always stay on the so-called winning side, gloss over Mary's song and frame the mother of Jesus not as this prophetic and brave and revolutionary woman, paint her instead as a silent figure, domesticated, meek, and mild. Mary glowing in angel light, ponderously inclined next to a baby in a manger. Mary silent in the night. I mean, let's get real. This song is too radical, it's too divisive, it's unrealistic, frankly. It's crazy to try and do this stuff. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things. Okay, that's, and sent the rich away empty. I mean, really? I mean, sure, a little strategic charity now and then, maybe a hamper. But a radical reordering of everything sounds dangerous. It's foolish even. Can we move on? Friends, we need Mary's song as much as ever. But can we give it access to our souls? Can we take stock with eyes wide open of all the trouble in the world, holding the world's struggle alongside the challenges of these texts, letting it sing to our deep needs? Can we let this song awaken our hearts? He has shown strength, Mary sings. With his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. With her song, Mary assures the little and the poor people that they have been seen. Their hunger and their suffering, the unfair shape of things, the cruel habits of the systems we occupy and its rulers. And she tells the proud and the powerful that they too are seen. Mary's song sings to women with blisters on their fingers as they sew t-shirts in sweatshops, to children picking cocoa beans that are destined for our Advent calendars, to folks who huddle in cardboard boxes on church steps on cold winter nights. And when a wannabe dictator arrests his political opponents, Mary sings. As broken tracts of earth cry out, polluted and exploited for shareholder profits, Mary sings. The mother of Jesus sings this song in her own voice, but this song is all around us. Because what the human race needs, what this planet needs, is a great intervention. The setting to right of so many harmful ways of being. How can folks like us hear the song of Mary? For a start, I would say by listening well to the background noise of creation is the hum of this song. What a preacher calls gospel. Good news proclaimed for the smallest, rescue for the weakest, food for the hungry, and a great big switcheroo for the powerful and the wealthy, and men on thrones tumbling down as women sing in the hill country. This is a song of salvation, but not salvation merely as a private little idea about your personal spiritual crisis. Mary's song is the big story, salvation with the long arms of heaven, the Spirit's broad and wide wings, brooding like a mother hen over all her children. We name this song in our prayers and our worship each week. We move to the beat of this song when we listen to the Spirit, when we show up, when we speak out, when we listen well, when we hear the voices of those who show the way in our midst. Sometimes those voices are writers and poets and musicians and artists, and they live to make this song come alive. But this song takes the shape of sculptors and photographers and dancers and fabric artists and basket weavers and cooks and mixologists and bakers and dancers and potters, gardeners, finger painters. The list goes on. The mixed media of humanity sings this song in every key. But I would say that this song is best sung in the spirit of Mary when it is sung by people who have lived under the boot heels of history. When displaced or enslaved people sang songs of hope as they were being trundled around the world or working in fields. When minorities sing as even as they are targeted and excluded by others. When indigenous wisdom song exposes colonial greed. When voices join together to speak up for those who have been overlooked or harmed by injustice, Mary's song sings out. For those of us on history's winning side, we best hear these gospel words when we listen to folks like this. May we listen well, because the health of our souls depends on it. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? If you don't have the words or the voice for it, will you give ear and listen? Sing these songs of hope and peace with us. Joyful songs, belted out or whispered. True love songs. Sometimes the song is punk rock. Sometimes it's smooth jazz. More often than not, it's the blues. Sometimes it has lyrics. Often it's just an instrumental. How well do the work of our hands and the sound of our voice lend strength to the struggle for the dignity and the harmony and the beauty and equality and the common struggle of humanity? For the health of the earth and all its creatures, this song is all around us. This song is universal. I did say that this wasn't a song about your personal little salvation journey, but I assure you that you are seen in this song as well. Whenever you and the Spirit groan together in the dark and you feel little and alone, whoever you are, as your soul waits in eager longing, Mary's song is there too. He has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Blessed are you who are seen in the dark. You who feel overwhelmed, little, and discouraged this season. Won't you join your voices with us then? You are not alone. Sit and listen with us, and then join the chorus. As we practice this last season, or last Sunday in the holy waiting season of Advent, may we listen well to these voices. May the church sing Mary's song in this weary world, sung in weak whispers, belted out in wholehearted, gutsy hallelujahs. Amen. Thanks be to God.